Yes, can we put the words, can we put the words on the board? Well, I personally have never heard it before. I thought this was very, very significant because it's really, it really kind of summarizes everything. Hallelujah. I think it really kind of summarizes the last, since we started. Thy kingdom come, O Lord. When the disciples came to Jesus Christ, just leave it there. I'm going to talk about it. When the disciples came to Jesus Christ, they asked him, teach us to pray. Hallelujah. And I don't know, and it's become something of a ritual in the church, that particular prayer. And I don't know if they understand the reality of what he was really praying. But I don't know. I think I might break it down a little bit. When he said, well, you start out by saying, our Father. You can stop right there. Hallelujah. He starts out by saying, our Father. And it is not something that you have to have in a religious sense, not something that you have to have in a theological sense. It's something that you have to have in a reality. Most of you have fathers, I think, praise God. That father is very real, and you're very well acquainted with him in one way or another, praise the Lord. I don't know if the fathers that you have are necessarily exemplary for an example to use with regards to God the Father. Hallelujah. But I think it's very necessary for us to have the same reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when you pray, our Father, you really are my Father. I kind of always like to personalize these things. Hallelujah. It makes it a little more personal. Hallelujah. And when I pray, my Father, I'm really kind of separating myself from the position of my natural surroundings, from my natural position of inheritance, because I have a different inheritance. Hallelujah. And as I am a son of my Father by virtue of the blood that is in my veins, hallelujah, because the element that, of life that was in his blood is in me, praise the Lord. Amen. Whenever they have a paternal test to determine a child and who the father is, they always go to the blood. Now, I don't understand the mechanics of it, but there is something in the blood that corresponds with the blood that is in the child. Is that correct? And they'll come back and they'll say, 99.9% this child belongs to this man. Hallelujah. Well, it's the same in the spirit, but you just can't see it. Hallelujah. When Jesus was resurrected, hallelujah, and he appeared to the disciples and they were doubting that what they were seeing, they thought it was a ghost. Hallelujah. And I think if Jesus was to appear to some of us, we'd probably think he was a ghost too. Hallelujah. But anyway, when he appeared, and I think it was Thomas, or he was talking to Thomas, and they were afraid. He said, bring me something to eat. Hallelujah. Isn't that what he said? Hallelujah. And he took the bread. I don't know if he had the drink there or not, but he took the bread and he ate it. Hallelujah. And he said a kind of a peculiar thing. Hallelujah. He said, I am flesh and bone. Hallelujah. He didn't say I'm flesh and blood. Hallelujah. And you can look it up if you want to. It's very exact. He said, I am flesh and bone. Because all of the blood was drained out of him. Yes. Hallelujah. He made sure. All of the blood was drained out of him. So there was something coursing through his veins, hallelujah, that we are not so much familiar with, or really even know what it was. However, we know that there was something that was generating and making life in him. The Bible says that he is the light, and he is the life of men. So there is an energetic substance, hallelujah, that has the ability to sustain life, not temporarily, but eternally, hallelujah. Because when you are born again, it isn't that you are just somehow transformed in some manner or fashion, and now you have the eternal or immortality in you. There is a substance, hallelujah, that is working in the arena of your body. Hello? Hallelujah. And if we knew the reality of it, and we could tap into it, you might be surprised what it would do as far as your physical body was concerned. Hallelujah. I remember one time, we were coming back from Africa, and Mavis got malaria. Hallelujah. She had malaria about 5 or 7 times. Every time was worse than the last time she had it. Hallelujah. And this particular time, when she got back, it was a strain of malaria that they had no idea what it was. Hallelujah. It was resisting all of the things that they were trying to do to fix it. And finally, the doctor, hallelujah, who was kind of a personal friend of theirs, told Cecil, there's nothing else we can do, and she probably will not live through the night. Hallelujah. Brother Dusil was there with another brother, hallelujah, and they were praying, and as they were praying, Brother Dusil prayed, and he said, let thy blood, let the blood of God touch her blood. Hallelujah. And he said there was an anointing there. He was aware that God had heard his prayer, so they just went home and went to bed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If it had probably been me, I'd been tossing and turning and calling the hospital about every 2 hours or so. Hallelujah. But he just went home and went to bed. Next morning, he comes to the hospital. Mavis is sitting on the side of her bed. Hallelujah. And she said, what am I doing here? Hallelujah. I need to go home. So they released her, and she went home. And, we use the terminology, the blood. We use it, blood, 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 blood. The blood of Jesus, the blood of God, blood, blood, blood. And we throw it out in sometimes in a frivolous manner, and we really don't understand the reality of what it is that we're saying. Hallelujah. And we have this life in us. When we are born again, there is something that has been deposited within our being, hallelujah, that can have a physical effect on our body if we really understand the concept of what it is and we believe in the reality of it, hallelujah. And if we believed in the reality of it, we would not have so much problem with some of these things that are attacking the body now. In particular, cancer, hallelujah. As well as diabetes, by the way, hallelujah. Everybody's turning up now with some kind of diabetic condition, whether it's hypoglycemia, or that's just kind of the opposite, isn't it? Are we turning up with the aspect of of the other type that you have to go on dialysis and all of the things that work in that arena? We should not be in that position. We should not be in that place. Hallelujah. We should not be there. We should put him out of a job. And we should put him out of a job. At least they would be loosed, right? Put you out of a job. Praise the Lord. And we would even put you out of a job. Hallelujah. We should be thinking and working and praying for some sort of position of reality concerning what it is we profess to believe. We should profess it. But if you profess it, hallelujah, you might be in trouble. Hallelujah. Because the devil is listening to everything you say. Oh, you want that? You want to be that way, huh? Okay, take this. Boom. Hallelujah. And what are you going to do? I'm sitting here talking to you about immortality. So that means my mortality is going to be honed in on. I'm talking to you about sickness and the overcoming of it. So I'm going to be a target for the devil. Hello? It has always been that way, by the way. Hallelujah. I don't know why anybody wants to be a minister. I really don't. Hallelujah. I didn't choose this profession. I didn't choose this place. God selected me, pushed me into it, and pulled me the rest of the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would just as soon have been a carpenter or a farmer and stayed in that position in the background. Hallelujah. But you have a revelation, and a revelation is not just intellectual knowledge, you understand. And it doesn't become your revelation until you have to go through some experience where you begin to put into practice what it was that you were talking about. Hallelujah. And you have to be somewhat of the mentality, and if we don't have this mentality, we're not going to reach the goal that God has set for us, whether I live or whether I die. You know, it's really not important whether I live or whether I die. Did you know that? Hallelujah. It is a matter of positioning myself in a positive position, and my focus is on the goal that He has set for me. Hallelujah. If I ever lose sight of that goal, I'm lost. Hallelujah. If it's religion I'm looking at, if it's preeminence or a place of recognition I'm looking at, then I'm going to lose it. There will be no hope for me in the aspect of ever attaining what it was that God has set before me. Hallelujah. And it's really true with anybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I look at this now. I'm doing it in the vertical now. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is an objective. There is an objective that God set for the world. I'm just kind of reiterating, and I'm trying to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. They say repetition is good for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "Let us make man." Hallelujah. And his idea was not in the aspect of what he did in the garden with Adam. He was looking down through the corridors of time. He was looking down to the end of time, and he was seeing you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And he knew that there needed to be a process, and there needed to be an overcoming, and there needed to be a reality that a people would come into and would cleave to. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because that cleaving and that reality is the thing that is going to change you and I. Hello? You can't be changed by the virtue of my reality. I can share it with you, maybe, and I can excite you concerning it, and I can tell you some of the wonderful things that God is doing for me and blessing me and delivering me. Hallelujah. But That might excite you, but it won't give you the ability to enter in or to exceed or move forward and to achieve what it is that God has for you. Hallelujah. And God has something for you, young man. You don't know what it is, but God has something for you. Hallelujah. And it's going to be through much tribulation. And you have asked for it. Hallelujah. Not the tribulation, but for the position, for the place. Hallelujah. But it's not going to come unless you are tribulated. And in the midst of the fire, you begin to cry out for God. And in the midst of that fire, you will find God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. anyway, we are working and we are moving in this realm of religion. Somewhere along the line, religion has to change to lifestyle. Uh-oh, he's going on lifestyle again. Hallelujah. We have a lifestyle that we bring into this thing. We bring into this position of worship and reverence and all of the things that pertain to salvation. There's a lifestyle we bring into it. That lifestyle has to die.
Oh, yes.
Say it louder.
Oh, yes.
No, you have to say it louder. I like to hear whether you really mean it or not. And then you're culpable. Hallelujah. So we have this position, we have this vehicle. This is the vehicle, by the way, it's the modem. The tabernacle is a modem from this realm to the other realm. Hallelujah. Just like your modem in your house gives you access to the world at large. Hallelujah. Isn't that true? Hallelujah. You got this thing called WhatsApp on your phone. Hallelujah. You can talk to Europe. You can talk to the United States. You can talk to someone in Timbuktu. You can talk to somebody over there in Iceland. You can be anywhere in the world. And on top of that, you can group them. So you can be in the world at many different places at the same time. Hallelujah. Now, why do we have the technology? Did anybody stop to think the technology exists because of the omnipresence of God? Hello?
Yes.
No amens.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the knowledge that it takes somewhere, someone, we are created in a peculiar, particular way, even in our fallen state, by the way. Hallelujah. You don't leave that, you don't necessarily lose the capabilities of what it is that is programmed within you concerning the omni character of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know, we want to make a big deal out of certain things, the Trinity of God and all of the things that go into that arena. And And we do things to try to confuse ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's not hard to understand. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have been created in His image. That means we are a triune being. Hallelujah. Now I'm talking about image. Hallelujah. We're talking about image. It says that God sees, so He gave His eyes. It says that God hears, so He gives us ears. It says God has a strong right arm, so He gives us a right arm and a left arm. It says God walks to and fro throughout the earth, so He gives us legs and feet. Hallelujah. And He gives us vehicles by which we might accomplish it. Hallelujah. All of that technology comes by virtue of the creativity that is in the potential that we call the Elohim. And when I say the Elohim, I mean God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One day the Lord came to me and He says, do you know what the Trinity is? I said, yes, I know what the Trinity is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And He said, well, yes, but no. Hallelujah. You don't understand the concept of it. I said, well, how am I supposed to understand the concept of it? He says, I will tell you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am a son. I have a father. Well, I had a father. And I had a mother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To them, I will always be a son. I had a dream one time, and my mother shows up in the dream. And she says, son? Hallelujah. So I know it's my mom, familiarity and all of that's there, and she's aware and she sees me and she recognizes me. I will always be a son. I cannot be anything else to them but a son. Hello?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. One day, I got married. I'm now a husband. Oh, did my sonship stop?
No.
It's still there. Huh? So I am now a husband. Hallelujah. And when I'm in the presence of mom or dad and my wife, I address my wife as honey. I address them as mom and dad. Hello. Hallelujah. Then one day I became a father. Hallelujah. And my children always know me as a father. They will never know me as a son. They will never know me as a husband. And yet my sons can be in one room, in the room. Mom could be there. Dad could be there. And my wife could be there. Don't want to forget her, do I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here I am. I'm talking to mom and dad. Hello. I have to have a certain demeanor. I have to have a certain reverence for their position and their authority. Hello. I turn to my son and I tell him, stop doing that. Hallelujah. There's a certain position of authority and a position of oversight that I have, and there's a relationship, hallelujah, that is totally different than what I have with my parents. And then my wife comes along, and I definitely have to be very sweet to her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have to be sweet, sensitive, and kind, as well as gentle, which, of course, I don't always do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter is, I have three different positions of responsibility. I am a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a son. Hallelujah. So we have the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to understand the three in one, hello, hallelujah. I've got this triunity of personalities inside of me. Hallelujah. And as given whatever circumstances I am in, praise the Lord, hallelujah, that character, that personality manifests itself. Hello.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So here we are. Am I hitting something or what? Hallelujah. Here we are. There is an objective that God has. And the process is to go through the different pieces of furniture, hallelujah, and stages of development, and in that position, in that place, hallelujah, we are growing and learning the character of who? Who are we growing? Who are we supposed to become? Gave up the ghost. Who are we supposed to become? Hallelujah. Nobody knows? Hallelujah. The goal is Christ. Hallelujah. The goal is Christ. I call this, for lack of a better terminology, the fourth dimension. There's been a lot of, and it's nothing difficult to understand. Hallelujah. It's not difficult to understand. Hello. The whole New Testament is geared toward Christ. And let me see, the advent of Christ wasn't at the beginning of the New Testament, Old Testament. It was the beginning of the New Testament. Hello. Hallelujah. What you saw in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when it relates to the story of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, you know, we put out that little manger and put up those little statues and send presents back and forth to each other. Hallelujah. If you do, shame on you. Hallelujah. So it is the aspect or the reality of what they had planned in the beginning was finally come to a manifestation in the physical sense. And that's important for us to understand, because I can't say it was hypothetical or theoretical, because You have to understand God and how he thinks, God the Father. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. Hallelujah. I mean, he's timeless, and he can move through time forward or he can move through time backwards. Did you know that? Hallelujah. How do you think Moses wrote the first four books of the Bible? Hallelujah. Just the first two books, first book of the Bible, Genesis. How do you think Moses wrote those books? You think he got on the computer and looked it up on Google? Huh? How did he know in the beginning? The earth was without form and void. Huh? How did he know that? Hallelujah. Because he was seeing it. Hallelujah. Wow. When Moses went up on the mountain, he said to the Lord, I want to see your face. He says, no man can see my face and live. So it says he hid him in the cleft of a rock. Who is the rock? Huh? What is the rock? When the scripture talks about the rock, what is it talking about? It's talking about Christ. Hello? Hallelujah. Jesus says, I was the rock. Didn't he say that? That followed you in the wilderness. The rock followed him. You sing this song. What do you say? Hide me under the rock. Do you know what you're saying? You were saying, I want to be put into that cleft. I want to be hidden in the cleft of that rock. I don't really necessarily want to be under that rock. Hallelujah. But I want to be in that rock, and I want that rock in me. Hello? Hallelujah. You need to understand what you are saying. Hallelujah. And not just take it for granted or take it in some way or another where it does not impart to you the reality of what is really there. Hallelujah. So they came together in Genesis 26, 1:26, and it says, we need to create a medium. We need to, well, maybe that's not the right word. Maybe modem isn't the right. We need to create a means by which man can transcend from humanity to divinity. Amen. Without losing the basic concept of his humanity. Now, I don't know why God needs man. Hallelujah. But God needs man because he made it so that he would have to use man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm not, and in some respects, it was like he wanted this intimate position of fellowship. Hallelujah. He was in constant communication with his firstborn son. He was in constant flow of communication and information and fellowship. Hallelujah. So this is supposed to be a portal. Hallelujah. That divides time from timelessness. Hallelujah. When you talk about the veil, you're talking about time and timelessness. Hello? Because really, the tabernacle doesn't stop right there. You know what I mean? You draw a line across the back of it. Hallelujah. That is not a stopping point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to understand that God wants to translate you, hallelujah, in a manner and fashion from one realm of existence to another realm of existence, and you can have your feet on the ground in one realm and your head in the other realm. Amen. Come on, say amen. Amen. Say it like you mean it. Amen. Hallelujah. The prayer that Jesus Christ the prayer that he prayed was, Father, I'm praying for these, and I'm not just praying for these alone, now this is my rendition of it, but I am praying for those that come after them by virtue of the word that they minister to them. John chapter 17. Hello? Hallelujah. Do you know the migration? Have you noticed it? Huh? In John 17, the migration of authority, the passing of the baton, have you really noticed it? Hallelujah. It starts out with Jesus saying, I have chosen these 12 and I have given them thy word. Hallelujah. So the first part of the chapter is talking about the disciples and the word that they received. Hello? Hallelujah. But somewhere in the midst of that chapter, and it's a few verses on, that word that was his word became their word. Hallelujah. And it wasn't that they and I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them. Hallelujah. Well, that hadn't happened quite yet. Hallelujah. But it eventually did come to pass. Hallelujah. We want to sit in our easy chairs, and we want to get in our nice car when this is air conditioned or the windows roll down, whichever one you prefer. Hallelujah. And drive to our nice, comfortable homes, have our tea, and eat our plantain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Totally oblivious to the aspect of who and what we are. Hallelujah. And, you know, we have so many divisions and so many denominations. And the same thing now is happening with the Holy Place Church, or it has happened. It's dividing up into segments. Hallelujah. Is Christ separated? No. Hallelujah. Is a Christ the author of division? No. Do you know what divides people? Hallelujah. It is a theology that they can keep what they have from the outside. Hallelujah. Well, let's do it today. They can keep what they have from the outside and bring it in, as it were, to this side. Hallelujah. And somehow, it just, in our mind, it kind of changes colors. It goes from black to blue. Hallelujah. Blue is acceptable. It means sonship. Hallelujah. So it changes. But God doesn't see black or blue. God sees mixture. He sees white and black. Hello? Which turns into gray. Hello? That's why they put this little piece of furniture right here. The altar, the golden altar of incense. And by the way, the golden altar of incense is the fifth station in the tabernacle. Five is the number of grace. Five is the number of ministry. And it's the ministry of grace to bring us to a position of sonship. However, this fifth altar is loaded with a booby trap. Hallelujah. Because if you bring strange fire to this altar, it's going to jump off of the altar and it's going to burn you. Hallelujah. And many of us, in some way or another, have often been burnt in one degree or another because of our inappropriate handling of the Word of God. Hallelujah. When I say inappropriate, I mean we do not understand the reality of what we got and we use it for something else. Hallelujah. When you're sick, what do? You call the blood of Jesus. You begin to rebuke the sickness. Why? Because you don't want to die. Isn't that right? And you will go to any expense, you will go to any means in order to stay alive. We're not supposed to fear death. We are supposed to be embracing it. I sometimes wonder if we don't have the time, if we don't have the ability to prolong our time, and in the prolonging of our time, we do something like Hezekiah did. Now, I'm not telling anybody not to go to the doctor. Hallelujah. You have to have a word from God. You have to have a word from God. But I know that there is a perfect way for handling situations and circumstances. And if I'm afraid of dying, I'm going to do anything to maintain my position of life. Hello? Hallelujah. So I have to have a greater position of understanding. I have to have a greater position of knowing. And I have to have a position that I am not afraid of dying. And whether I live or whether I die, it's not important. Do you hear me? Oh, we think success is in living, but success may be in dying. Hallelujah. If it's the will of the Father. Hallelujah. So this Father thing has to be so real to me, so absolutely positive in my mind, so absolutely set in my mind that death cannot shake it. Hallelujah. And there has to be a willingness in me to embrace it. There has to be a willingness in me to be able to suffer because of it. Hello? I don't have to necessarily be really overjoyed over the fact that I'm hurting. Hello? But in the hurting, I can be crying out to God to give me the strength to endure. Hallelujah. And the Hebrew children, they thought they were dead men. There's no doubt in my mind, well, I may have to apologize to them and repent. Hallelujah. But that fire was 7 times hotter. And I don't know what 7 times hotter means, but I suppose you could feel the flame, the heat of the thing emanating off for maybe 10 or 15 or 20 feet. Hello? Hallelujah. And the guards that were throwing things in there and opened the door, it smote them. Hello? They had them trussed and bound up. But the first thing the fire did is not, it wasn't that it destroyed their bond, it destroyed their captors. Hallelujah. The spirits are the position of authority that was represented by those that were called the guards, who had the instructions to bind them. Hallelujah. When they opened the door, hallelujah, they were smitten. The heat blasted out and they died. Hello? Now you're standing there all bound up and trussed like a turkey. Hello? Hallelujah. And they're going to throw you in there. What would you say? Oh boy, I'm dead. I'm a cinder. I'm going to die right here and now. Hallelujah. But whether we live or whether we die, they didn't fall down on their knees and beg God to deliver them. They didn't get to plead and cry concerning their situation of circumstances. They said, "Oh, King, live forever." Oh, that's what that is. Hallelujah. "Oh, King, live forever. But we want you to know we're not bowing a knee to this Babylonian system of religion. We're not bowing our knee to something that is non-existence as far as we are concerned. We have one objective. We have one goal. We have one position of belief. And that is in the reality of the Father." Amen. Hallelujah. And we have to have that reality of the Father. And we're supposed to get that reality through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to turn everything back over to the Father. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews? Hallelujah. So the Father is the Father, and the relationship with Him is the preeminent thing. And Christ is the modem, or the vehicle, by which you and I come into that position or that place of relationship. Hallelujah. When the baptism is one baptism with 3 parts. Baptism into water, baptism into the Spirit, and baptism into Christ. Hallelujah. Man baptizes you in water. Jesus baptizes you in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. Hallelujah. What do we use the Holy Spirit for? We speak in tongues and shout and jump and zack around and do this and do that. Hallelujah. All of these different spiritual manifestations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That Holy Spirit is to lead us and to baptize us into Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in that man, and that Christ is to be in you, around you. Hallelujah. And to meld and merge with the personality of the Elohim. Hallelujah. That's what John chapter 17 says. Hallelujah. That they may be one. You know, you can testify all day long about your salvation, but it says that the reality of your position of Christian belief is in the oneness that you have with the Godhead. Hallelujah. That's what it says, brethren. I'm not making up scripture. Thou art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. You know, this is really the all-inclusive us. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1:26, he says, let us. Hallelujah. And there was a council in heaven. Now, up until that point in time, because we don't have any reference before that, it seems that the Elohim was in some measure or manner all mixed up together, working to do whatever it was they were doing as far as the creation was concerned. Elohim is the plurality of God in the Hebrew, by the way. So it's redundant to say Elohim and then say us, unless there's a specific designation of the us. Hello? So they compartmentalize the work and the object of what it was that God the Father wanted. Hello? Come on. The Father come up with this idea because out here somewhere beyond this point, there is something the Father wants to do. And it's not going to be just spiritual, it's going to be natural also. Hallelujah. Because he melded and merged a natural man with a spiritual character and identity. And Jesus didn't say he was going to be translated off of this world into some unknown realm of the spirit where you can neither see him or touch him or whatever. Hallelujah. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. That where I am. And he used the word I am, hallelujah, not in the sense of personal identification, but in the sense of what it was said to Moses, I am what I am. That means I am all inclusive, I am everything you see or you don't see, and there is nothing out there that isn't me.
Amen.
Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're talking about an all-inclusive God. And it says in Genesis, in John, he said, that they may be one in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, when you look at that council in heaven, when you look at that position of what was going on in that arena, hallelujah, there was a designated positions of responsibility that were being assigned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God the Son decided and agreed with the Father that this position or this thought that he had. I was asking somebody one time, what kind of situation is that where you come together and you have an idea and you throw it out on the table, hallelujah, and everybody begins to brainstorm it, hallelujah. Are you familiar with that? He says it's conceptual engineering. Hallelujah. I had a friend many years ago. He was so intelligent, he almost couldn't do anything but think. Hallelujah. He worked for the Liverpool Nuclear Lab, and they were put these guys in a little room, and they lock it, and then they give them a thought or an idea, and then they start brainstorming it. Well, we could do this, or we can do that. Go and do this, or they'll do that. All the types of different scenarios. Now, it was not like that with the Father, but that is what they call conceptual engineering. It's coming up with some sort of plan or some sort of thought as to how to do something that somebody wants done. Hello? And the Father says, I want to meld and merge man, human, hallelujah, in the aspect of his physical being, hallelujah, I want him to be able to meld and merge with us, hallelujah, and not be destroyed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they came up with this concept. Well, we can build this vehicle and we will call it Christ. Hallelujah. That vehicle was a God-man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus was born, he was not born of natural substance. He was overshadowed with what? Somebody tell me. How was he overshadowed? Huh? The Holy Spirit. Is this the same Holy Spirit you got?
Yes.
Is it the same Holy Spirit you got? Or is it different?
No, it's not different.
It's not different. Are you sure it's not different?
No.
So then, what is it doing with you? It's overshadowing you. It's supposed to overshadow you.
Amen.
Hello. Hallelujah. Amen. We have right here, we call it the Ark of the Covenant. It had a mercy seat made out of pure gold with the cherubim. It had two angels. Hallelujah. Two angels. I'll do this. I'm not a very good drawer, so you just have to bear with me. I need somebody who could really draw. But these cherubims are on either end of the deal. Huh? Yeah, there you go. Praise the Lord. I still draw it. Hallelujah. Give me practice. Hallelujah. One of these cherubims is a representation of the Word of God. It's the washing of the water of the Word. Hello? The other one is indicative of the Holy Spirit. Huh? Hallelujah. And God said, this is where I will meet with you. And when the glory of God came up in there, hallelujah, and it was, the ark is down here, hallelujah, it would cover the ark, it would penetrate in and cause the ark to glow, hello, hallelujah, and it was, and the shadow of it would cast out, hallelujah. Now, when Solomon built the temple, hallelujah, he did something, he magnified everything. Yes. Hallelujah. And when he made the two cherubims, he made the cherubims facing the congregation, by the way. The wings were outstretched like this, right? Hallelujah. They went from wall to tip of wing to wall on the other side of the cherub. And the glory of God would rise behind the cherubims, and it would cast a shadow over those participants that were in the front of that position or that place. Hello? You remember the two cherubims that stood at the entrance of the gate? Hallelujah. To the garden? They had flaming swords. Those flaming swords weren't really made to keep man out. It was just to keep the undesirable out. Hallelujah. Because it says that the Holy Spirit is a lot sharper than a two-edged sword. Hallelujah. And the Bible also says that we come into God through much tribulation. Hello? Now, fire is an element of change, but it can't change without it burning. We want fire, but we don't want it to burn. We don't want to feel the heat of it. We don't want to feel the searing pain that it brings. Fire, have you ever really been burned really bad? Hallelujah. It hurts. It hurts really bad. Hallelujah. And it lasts a long time, and there's nothing somebody touches it, it just sends you out of your mind. Hallelujah. Because fire burns, but this fire is not made to destroy the human flesh. It is made to purify the human soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a position, there's a place, first of all, for tribulation. Praise God. Tribulation. There are four posts in the veil that are holding up the veil. Four is the number of tribulation. Hallelujah. There are four posts at the gate. Four is the number of tribulation. Tribulation. In the previous meeting, I was discussing with you the aspect of the nature of darkness, the aspect of darkness as an entity or a personality, which, by the way, is us. We all thought the devil was our problem. The devil is not God's problem. The problem that God has is us. Hallelujah. And our refusal to cooperate with him. Anyway, hallelujah. This space right here was to be 20 cubits. Hallelujah. It was supposed to be 20 cubits. Hallelujah. In width. And divided up by four posts. Two on the side, two on the inside. Hallelujah. Well, you take 20 cubits. Hallelujah. And that gives you three spaces, by the way. Take 20 cubits and divide it by three. What do you come up with?
6 points.
Huh?
6.6.
6.6, and if you carry it out, it's 6666666. So each one of these segments is 6.66. Hallelujah. What is the number of the Antichrist? Huh? What is the number of the Antichrist? Are you afraid to say it? The number of the Antichrist is 666. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that means you and I are born with an Antichrist spirit. You're not ready to accept that one, right? Hallelujah. This is a prophetic word. The prophetic nature of the curtain. The prophetic nature of the curtain had white, blue, crimson, woven in it, and purple. Hello? Hallelujah. So it's prophesying. You are 666. But if you come through this door, I'm going to change you from 666 to 7. Yes. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's talking about this nature of world that we have, and it's not just world, it's really Antichrist. Hallelujah. Put the wrong caps on the wrong one. It's Antichrist. World, and all that it entails is Antichrist. Now, Antichrist is not just one man. Hello? Hallelujah. You will see the manifestation of the head as Antichrist. But this Antichrist being, hallelujah, is going to have a body. Hallelujah. He's going to have a body of people who have pledged allegiance to his position of Antichristism. Hello? And if he can't do it through the world, he will do it by changing the position of religion so that the religion does not deal with the pernicious nature that you and I were born with. God is after that pernicious nature. Hallelujah. And he wants you and I to destroy it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By the death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. When you divide the tabernacle up, you have death. Huh? You have death. You have burial. And you have resurrection. Hallelujah. But resurrection is not complete until you come to the golden altar of incense. Hallelujah. When you're here at the lampstand, which is indicative of union with Christ, hallelujah, Christ being the central stem, The oil that is in the stem, in the lampstand, hallelujah, is the oil of anointing or the Holy Spirit. And the wick that burns is man that is being tried by fire. Hello? Hallelujah. And the priests were to come in every morning and trim those wicks. Hallelujah. So they would burn brightly and they would burn seamlessly without interruption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the wick would get smaller and smaller. Hallelujah. When you talk about the process of metamorphosis, you're talking about a process of one form changing to an entirely different form of life that has absolutely, seemingly, no connection with what it was in the beginning. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, scientists have not really been able to figure out why this metamorphosis thing, hallelujah, they have not been able to figure out quite how it works because they can't get into the catalyst without destroying the thing that is in it. Hallelujah. And even x-raying doesn't seem to help. What they do know is that, and I don't know how they know it, but what they do know is that there are seven stages or process that worm goes through before it comes out as a butterfly. It's coming out as a butterfly is the final stage, the final thing that it becomes. Hallelujah. And the butterfly must of its own accord break out of its catalyst, out of its cocoon. Hallelujah. Must. Or it will not fly. Hallelujah. There was a person who had one of these, and they were waiting for this butterfly to come forth, and this butterfly was coming forth, and it was having such a hard time struggling, they decided they were going to help it. Hallelujah. So they kind of helped it with the catalyst and breaking it a little bit. But when that butterfly finally got out, hallelujah, it couldn't fly. Hallelujah. Do you know, does anybody here have dreams about flying? Huh? Does anybody have dreams about flying? I used to, when I was younger, growing up in this world, I was flying all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was flying all the time. Hallelujah. And I believe that if we had the reality of what we got, time and space to us would not be of any major consequence. Hello? Hallelujah. When Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock, you thought I forgot it, didn't you? Hallelujah. When Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock, what did the Father say to him? What did he say to him? I am going to show you my backside. Does God have a backside? Huh? What would be God's backside? You don't know. Genesis 1. Hallelujah. The backside of God is what was happened in the past. Huh? Much like when John was translated into the future. Hallelujah. How else could Moses get such an accurate eyewitness report? That thing is eyewitness. It's eyewitness report. Hello? He saw the darkness. He heard the commandment of God say, let there be light. Hallelujah. And he saw the division of light. Hallelujah. That man was writing what he saw. Hallelujah. John, out there on the island of Patmos. My goodness. Hallelujah. God had to translate him into the future. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, don't tell me it's not possible. Mount of Transfiguration. Hallelujah. You have two individuals, Moses and Elijah, both been dead for about 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Nobody could find their bodies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Moses was taken, his body wasn't allowed to see corruption, and Elijah went up in a flaming chariot. That was just a way of explaining it. Hallelujah. What happened? Hallelujah. He goes up there. Now remember, this man has Christ in him. It's part of his name. He metamorphosed from Jesus of Nazareth, and now he's Jesus Christ. Hello? Hallelujah. I'm talking about us and what it is that we are supposed to have. Hallelujah. I want the baptism in water. I want the baptism in the Spirit. I want the baptism into Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remember when somebody told you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Huh? I don't know about you. I was in trouble. I got saved when I was 8. I fell away when I was 12, and I came back when I was 21. Hallelujah. Or 22, maybe 23. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was in trouble. I had gathered a lot of garbage, a lot of baggage in those short years of being out in the world. My mind was there was nothing good going on in my brain. Hello? I was addicted to substances. I'm glad they didn't have the paraphernalia they have now. Hallelujah. Jeepers, creepers. Hallelujah. But nevertheless, I was in bad condition. Hello? And I was miserable. Hallelujah. And I said to God, I said, I need something. I need something that will get me out of this mess I am in. And I met some guys, and they began to tell me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God comes down and he fills you up with this glory and this effervescence and liberty, and it take care of all your problems. Well, I believed him. Hallelujah. And I was desperate enough to go start seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how it was with you. Maybe God just came in the room one day and baptized you. Hallelujah. But I had to go looking for it. Hallelujah. I don't know why I had to go look. I guess he was testing my determination. Hallelujah. Well, I heard this. I was going to a Pentecostal church there in a little town that was south of me. Hallelujah. And they were having a Holy Ghost conference. And a Holy Ghost revival, that's what they said. Hallelujah. Well, I said, well, it's Holy Ghost revival. That's where I need to be because I need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so I went to the Holy Ghost revival. And I'm sitting there. I'm listening, not hearing half of what the guy is saying. I'm just waiting for the Holy Ghost. I'm turning around and looking at the back door. Looking around the pastor and the things that are on the stage, I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He keeps on. And finally, they give an altar call. Hello? Hallelujah. Anybody want the Holy Ghost? Just come down here in the front. We'll give it to you. Hallelujah. I was the first out of the pew and down to the front. Hallelujah. And a whole big crowd gathers around the people up there, and I got all these plants slapping hands on me and telling me to say this and say that and release my mind. Oh, yeah, release your mind, release your tongue. And one guy was even saying, blah, 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 blah. And that didn't work. I went home that night. I said, well, I'm not giving up. It was a 7-day Holy Ghost revival time. Hallelujah. I went back every night. Every night I was back there. Every night I was up there. And you know, the crowd around me got smaller and smaller. Smaller, smaller. And I can almost hear them thinking, this guy, he's a lost cause. He ain't going to make it. There's no way. I don't even want to be close to him. The stigma might rub off on me. Hallelujah. And the last night, hallelujah, I said, oh, well, I've done it every other night. I might as well go up and do it this night. I go up there, and I'll never forget the man. His name was Enoch Christofferson. He was a very successful farmer, turkey farmer. He raised turkeys. They called him the turkey man. Hallelujah. He was involved in the full gospel food drops and things of that nature. And very, very thin man, very hairy. He was tall. Hallelujah. He just came up there. He knelt down beside me. He put his arm around me. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. And everything just flowed out of my mind the minute he put down his arm. And he was just praying in tongues softly. Hallelujah. Wasn't shouting or shaking me and doing any of that other stuff. Hello? Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing the tongues in this ear, and I'm hearing the interpretation in this ear. And God says to me, he says, son, he says, I have given it from the first day you asked for it. Just open your mouth and speak. And I opened my mouth, and out it came. Hallelujah. And it was such a glorious experience. I don't even know how I drove home that night, because I don't remember going home. But I wound up in my bed, and I'm praising the God, and I'm speaking in tongues, and I'm doing all this stuff, man, and I feel like I'm being translated, transfigured, and all of those things, like this thing, having a glorious time, and I finally fall asleep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, morning comes, I wake up, and I'm in this semi-stupor between sleep and awake. And my hand goes out to the nightstand. Yes. And it finds my cigarettes. And before I know it, I got one in my mouth, and I'm lighting it up. And then it hits me. Oh, my God. They lied to me. Oh, so it really didn't solve all my problems right away. Hallelujah. But it got me so desperate and so hungry that I said to God, if you can't save me, if you can't deliver me, kill me. Hallelujah. Well, he came in the room and I thought he was going to kill me. And I'm thinking, oh my God. Hallelujah. I'm a dead man. But he delivered me. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a point that we have to come to in our desperation. We are so totally aware that any and all of our energy, our methods that we are employing are not going to work. We have to come to the point of our absolute strength is as worthless as a red dish rag, a dirty red dish rag. Hallelujah. And begin to cry out for that reality that is in the Father by virtue of Christ. Hello? Hallelujah. The fire is made to put you into a place of extreme trouble and come to the revelation, not of the things of God per se as they are in, as it is planned, but that there is a need, an absolute positive need you have for the Father to be in you. Hallelujah. And you to be in the Father. Hallelujah. So, this is the modem. This is the vehicle by which God intends to bring you into that position of timelessness. Now, this man, Jesus, he takes two of his disciples. He goes up on the mount. Hallelujah. And he begins to release. Now, I don't know how he could restrain it as well as he did. And appear as a mere human in so many situations and adverse circumstances. But he began to release it. They say it was as bright as the sun. Brighter. Can you imagine even trying to look at it? Huh? Hallelujah. This is a physical man, hallelujah, in a physical body prior to his resurrection, hallelujah. And he begins to release this entity that is called Christ. Hello? Hallelujah. And he gets brighter, and he gets brighter, and he gets brighter. It gets brighter until suddenly it splits a seam between time and eternity like pulling back a curtain. Hallelujah. It's a physical thing. It's a physical situation. It's not something that happened after his resurrection. It's something that happened before his resurrection, because he had to have that nature to the position in the fullness that he had it in order to be resurrected. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can pick it back up again. Loose! Hallelujah. And out walks Moses. My question would be, how did they know it was Moses? He'd been gone for over 1,000 years. Hallelujah. And out walks Elijah. Hello? Hallelujah. Well, we would want to be like those two brothers. We'd want to get a tent and start having revival meetings. Hallelujah. Why did he do that? Before he was crucified. Why did he do that? Because he wanted the people to know. He wanted them to know. And he wanted you and I to know that you do not have to go through that process of death, of being buried and resurrected, in order to function in the nature of Christ. Hallelujah. It takes the nature of Christ in order to do it. You remember the prayer? He says, Father, give me the glory. What glory? What are we talking about? Effervescent, shiny stuff? No, he's talking about his position in the Godhead. When they were creating all that, it says nothing that was made without him. And nothing that was made, and everything that was made for his pleasure. Hello? Hallelujah. If it's made for him and it's made by him, that means everything he made has an eternal existence. And he says, Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the world was. Loose! Oh my God. Give me that glory. Later on, in that same chapter, he turns around and he says, the glory that thou hast given me, I'm giving it to them. And whosoever shall believe upon me through their word. Ah, come on! Go into it, dig into it, find out that that's what it's saying. It's right there. You got your little concordances and you got all of these things. You can chase these words down. God was saying, I'm giving them this position, this authority that I had in the Godhead. I'm giving it to them. Amen. Hallelujah. And they are now able to give it through their word. His word becomes their word. The Father's word became the Son's word. The Son's word became the disciples' word. The disciples' word becomes our word. Amen. Loose! Loose! I'm not making this up. I'm not fantasizing. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what happened by virtue of what is written down in the Word. Are you going to believe it, or are you going to believe something else? No wonder they're trying to change the Word. They can't take it away. They're just changing it. They're watering it down, taking phrases out, taking scriptures out, changing words to mean this, changing words to mean that. Hallelujah. Because Satan does not want you to know that you are a candidate for that glory. We need to desire this position. We need to desire. not a position of preeminence in the natural world. Hallelujah. We need to desire this position of glory. And God wants to give it to you, wants to give it to these children. Hello? And when you have to raise these children in a way, in a fashion, that they understand the concept that they are not children of the natural, but they are begotten of the Father if they're born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We waste so many time building churches and doctrines and all of this thing that bring division and separation and destruction. Hallelujah. We should be building a body. We should be building a body that is a glory unto the Father. Hallelujah. I don't know anyone who has any sense at all, spiritual sense, who would not want the commendation that was spoken to Jesus Christ by the voice of the Father. Huh? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Is he going to say that for me? Only if I abide under the rule of righteousness. Only if I abide under the rule of righteousness. I'm talking about a meticulous scrutiny of my character. It has to be without spot. It has to be without blemish. It cannot be contaminated by any human secular element. Hello? The high priest was to examine that lamb, and they had to go through it hair by hair, inch by inch. Hallelujah. And then there's another interesting thing. The high priest would not pronounce Jesus Christ clean. And he could not be sacrificed until he was declared clean. Hallelujah. But they would not do it. Hallelujah. God had to go outside of the system. Hallelujah. So they took him to a man called Pilate. And Pilate examined him. And Pilate scourged him. And Pilate examined him. And then he takes a bowl of water and he goes out. He says, I find no fault in this man. Who's? He was now ready to be offered. Hallelujah. God went outside of the system. God went outside of the organized religious circle and used a heathen pontiff to bring a clarity and a verdict of clean. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. You know, God will go to extreme measures for us in order to accomplish his will. If we are really focused, if we are really got our attention locked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, they developed these missile guidance systems. Huh? You see them on TV. Huh? The guy's up there, maybe who knows how far up, I don't know. A couple thousand feet, maybe, I don't know. Fires a rocket. And it goes down, you see this rocket, and you see this scope, and the guy on the ground, he's got some sort of laser, right? And he's shooting it in the doorway. Hello? That rocket goes down, comes around, circles around, does all kinds of things, and finally it lines up, and it goes right in through the door. Huh? Hallelujah. That is how we are supposed to be locked into Christ. Hallelujah. That is what we are supposed, that is supposed to be our determination, our position of dedication, our position of consecration. Jesus said, I sanctify myself for their sakes. Not for his sake, for their sake. We are to sanctify ourselves for their sake, not our sake alone. Our sanctification is for the environment in which we live. Hallelujah. 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 That is the objective. That is the goal. Hallelujah. It's just a matter of how bad you really want it. It's the want to. And the tenacity and the determination that you display in the want to in going after it. God bless you.